Pasuk in Mishle says, Moshel makshiv al dvar shaker kol mishar sav rishayim. A ruler, a person in charge who listens to lies, all of his assistants, his servants, are wicked people. Ibn Ezra explains, Kishiyadabru lo sheker v'yishma'im oz yisharsu rishayim. If, when people tell him lies, he listens to them, you know what kind of people are going to be attracted to him to serve him? Rishayim. People will tell him lies for whatever reason they do so. The Mitzudos has a slightly different twist on this, even though I think they're both true. He says, Kasher ha-moshel makshiv devar sheker, or mekabel devar sheker, if people see that the person in charge is receptive to hearing, to listening to lies, oz kol mishorsav mishapchem l'rishayim, then all of the people who work for him, all his mishorsim, will turn into rishayim. Ki leman yimtzuchein be'enav, in order that they should curry favor with him, misaprim lo shkarim v'chotim b'nafshos. In other words, a person who's in charge but is of a certain character is either going to attract the yes people, or he's going to turn his or her assistants into yes people, with the result being the same thing, that the leader, that the person in charge, that the moshel, hears what he or she wants to hear, not what he or she needs to hear. If we go back to last week's parsha, so when Paro was experiencing the Makos, the first people who sort of stood up there to defend him, to push back, were the Chartumim. So after the Mach of Dam, Vayasuchein Chartumim Belotehem, they pulled the Dam as well. Big deal, Moshe. And then after the Tzardea, Vayasuchein Chartumim Mitzrayim Belotehem, took a little longer in the number of words. But they're still showing we can make the Tzardea. Finally, when it gets to the Kinim, Vayasu chena chartumim belatehem lotzeas akinim. Velo yeholu. So they do it. Oh no, it didn't work. At that point, the chartumim, as Rashi reads, the chartumim say, Tzpailu kimhi. Sorry, Paro, you're out of luck. This is God's doing. We can't do this. Face the facts. And you know what happens? We don't hear from the chartumim anymore. They don't appear. They're done. They walk away. If there's something of an analog to this in a very different context in Chumash, Chazal were such careful readers, and when Zikne Moab and Zikne Midyan come to visit Bilam with a mission, so the Torah says, Uksamim biyadam. So the pshat is they came with the divination tools in case Bilam said, I don't have my magic kit with me, they made sure they have a magic kit. But Rashi quotes in the Medrash that the Zikne Midyan came with Uksamim, they had a test. If Bilam said, yes, I'm coming with you, then yesh bo mamish. But if Bilam stalled, forget about it. And then, when they heard, when Bilam said, I can't go with you, I have to speak to God, vayeshu sarei moav in Bilam. Zikri and Midian understood already where this is going to end. So in last week's parasha, the Chartumim are no longer in the good graces of Paro, or they know better because he's not listening to them. So who's left for Paro then? And the answer is the only people who are left for Paro are Avdei Paro. You have Paro, you have Avdei Paro, and then you have Amo. And the Avdei Paro are the only ones who are left. And in fact, we only hear about them doing something subsequently. And what we hear about them is, number one, Hayare yistabar Hashem Avdei Paro, heinisa saradav sukneo el habatim. Vashel lo sam libo al dvar Hashem, vayazov es avadav sukneo basadeh. And then we hear after the Mach of Barad, Vayachbed libo hu va'avadav. It's the first time it's Avadama there. The Chartumim are no longer in the inner circle, now it's the Avadim. But finally, when Moshe warns them about the Makas Arba that's about to come, Vayomeru avdei faro elav, an masai yelzel emelkesh, like enough. Even they, at least temporarily, wake up. Even as Mishar Savu or Rishaim, the Avadim, so they finally wake up. Except, for them, it's still not a full wake-up call. It's temporarily, because after the Jewish people leave, Vayehafech levav Paro va'avadov el ha'am. Paro and Avadov are the ones who have regrets. And then when Paro goes to chase after them, it's Vayesper Esrichbo V'es Amo Lakachimo. He didn't have to take his Havadim. They went with him. But Amo he had to take. So his Havadim were all in. They had a temporary respite. A responsibility of leadership is to not surround themselves with followers. You're not supposed to surround yourself with followers. You're not supposed to surround yourself with yes people. There is a flip side to this, of course, which is that the responsibility of those who are around the leader is to give good advice. This is not merely an Eitz HaTovah, but an obligation. What is the obligation? V'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. You might be aware that the Sifra, and Rashi quotes it, does not read this only literally, not putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person, but even to giving a person bad advice, to misleading them. So you know that the person, you want to buy the field, and you give the person Eitzah to sell the field, even though it's not a good idea to sell the field, to somebody else, presumably, and then you're going to buy it. The responsibility of those who give advice is, number one, it has to be in the best interests of the recipient, not the advisor. Number two, you have to not be machna someone. You have to tell them the truth. Because kol hanegoyim roe adam chutz minegei atzma. The job of a friend is to tell a friend that which they don't want to hear. And number three is to know one's own limitations. And as part of this, understand that one human being can never fully understand the inner workings of another person. Lev yodea maras nafsho uvesimchaso layis aravzar. This sifra, regarding the first one, and I mentioned this just before, tells us the obvious. You tell them to sell the field because you want to buy it, but it runs much deeper than this. It's not just if you, and not just in the obvious way, almost self-dealing. If you're a teacher advising a student about taking your class or staying in your share, or you're an employer advising someone about taking or staying in a job because of your own considerations, or a parent pushing a child to do something because it will make the parent look good, as opposed to being first and foremost of the interest of the child. This is all bad advice because it's putting your interest ahead of the other person. With regard to the second, of telling people what they don't want to hear, the Gemara in Chelek describes this paradigm with a contrast between two wise, Eishes On and Eishes Korach. Chazal were bothered by the fact that On ben Peles is one of the ringleaders in the first two psukim of Korach, and yet when the battle comes, On is nowhere to be seen. Dustan and Avira are there, but On ben Peles is not. So the Gemara in Chelek says, Amar Rav, On ben Peles ishto hitzilato. Rav says that his wife saved him. Amrale, she said to him, my nafkalach mina. And he was so proud. He was standing up to Moshe Rabbeinu, all the guys. He was a person of integrity. She said to him, why are you getting involved in this? Imar Rabba antalmida. Imar Rabba antalmida. It doesn't matter whether Aaron wins, Moshe wins, or Korach wins. You're still going to be a nobody. You're still going to be the in second place. So he heard what she said. Amalei mayavid. What should I do? Havai be'itza? Mishtabe libyadai. I said I swore I was going to be there. So what does she do? She says, she knows that ki chol eida kulam kedoshim. The Gemara says it in Aramaic. So she says, you stay here. I'll save you. She gets him totally smashed. He's out stone cold. She puts him inside the house. She sits by the doorway. And she uncovers her hair. And any of Korach Shluchim came, would say, oh my God, the woman's hair is uncovered, and they would go the other way, forget it. So On never showed up for the final showdown, and On was saved. Korach's wife sees him come home, shaved bald from the Maisa Levine, and says, look what Moshe did to you. Look what he's doing. He's the king. He makes his brother the Kohen Gadol. He makes his nephews Seganim to the Kohen Gadol. If Truma comes, he says, give it to the Kohen, his brother and his kids. If they bring you Maser, he says, yeah, but give us a tenth. And then on top of which, he shaved you bald and waved you around like a piece of dung. He wants to see you bald. So he says to her, but he also shaved himself. Right? All Levine was shaved. So she said, nah, doesn't matter. That was because Tamos Nafshi implished him. So Korach's wife eggs him on in all the wrong ways. And the Gemara, in its conclusion, quotes the pasuk, Chachmos Nashim Ban Savesa. That's Isha, that's Esha's own Ben Peles. The wisdom of a woman built her house. Ve'iveles b'yadeh ha'serasana, and the fool destroys it with her hands. Zo ishdusha Korach. This is true for spouses. It is true for friends. It is true for anyone called upon to give counsel. Moshe makshiv al dvar shaker kol mishar sav rishaim. With regards to number three, knowing one's limitations, a great and insightful Adam Gadol once noted to me that not all Talmidei Chachamim are good Balei Eitzah, but some of them don't realize it and inadvertently violate Lifnei Iver. Someone giving Eitzah needs to, one, know their own limitations, two, understand their own biases. There can be no self-interest in giving advice. Three, make clear to the person seeking their advice the limitations that they have in giving advice. Number four, to understand for themselves that their sacred obligation is not to tell the interlocutor what to do, but to help them figure out for themselves what is right for them. This, by the way, is the proper autonomy that we subscribe to. Autonomy doesn't mean anybody should feel free to do whatever they want, like you do you, but rather that they should be empowered to make their own choice, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us at the end of Parshas Nitzavim. Number five, to understand that Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho, that you can only gain a limited understanding into another human being. You can never fully understand the emotional nuances of the person who asks your counsel. You cannot know them better than them. You cannot know better than them what they are thinking or feeling. And six, and finally, sometimes you have to tell them what they don't want to hear. Moshe makshiv al dvar shaker, kol mishar sav rishayim. This too creates an obligation, or at least good advice to someone seeking counsel. If the person you are seeking counsel from speaks with absolute certainty as to what you should do, run in the opposite direction. At best, they are behaving as an arrogant fool. At worst, they may be a controlling person. If the person suggests that they or anybody else understand or understands you better than you understand yourself, run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. In this case, you are likely dealing with a charismatic individual and opening yourself up to potential abuse. If the person appears just to be telling you what you want to hear, run in the opposite direction. You should understand that you are speaking to an Eishes Own, not an Eishes Korach. They are more concerned about your liking them and what's in it for them than they are about you. Paro's Chartumim figured this out pretty quickly. But Paro's Avadim took much longer, and in the end it wasn't sincere. Vayafech levav Paro va'avadov el ha'am. But we can and should aspire to do better. As the Gemara in Chulin observes, Moshe makshiv al dvar shaker kol mishar sav rishaim. But the flip side is, makshiv al dvar emes kol mishar sav tzadikim. Make sure that if you are the Moshe, and all of you will probably be in one position or another, wherever that is, even just as a parent, make sure that you are prepared to listen and that people should feel comfortable telling you the truth. And if you are the Mishares, you should be prepared to say what needs to be said. Good Shabbos.